Good morning. It's nice to be at my other church. I consider you my church family as well. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be here with us today, that it will move upon our hearts, that it will draw us to Jesus, because we want to draw nearer to you. Please accept our worship and our praise, for I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I'm going to talk about a subject that's very, very dear to my heart, education. You see on the reader board out in front, it says, life is education. On my school insignia is a statement, education is life. But I like to turn that around and say, life is education. And I think you'll all agree with me that we learn as we live. And if we don't learn as we live, what's the option? We die. We disappear. We die. So the first thing I want to do this morning is I want to take a show of hands survey. I have about a dozen questions here. And so I want to find out from you who you are and how you got to be where you are. First of all, how many of you were born into a Seventh-day Adventist Christian home? How many of you found Jesus Christ as children? How many of you then became Christians as adults? Okay, that gives me a better idea of who I'm talking to here. How many of you attended Seventh-day Adventist Christian schools? Many of you. How many of you came to know Jesus Christ while you were attending Seventh-day Adventist Christian schools? And some of you, it took a while, didn't it? Yeah. Education is a process. It's a journey that lasts your entire lifetime. I'm going to lean fairly heavily upon the book Education this morning by Ellen White for most of my thoughts, though I will not be directly quoting. I think they're as timely today as they were 150 years ago when they were written. In fact, the education that we're considering today is education that goes all the way back to the book of 2 Kings. And this afternoon, if you have some time, please read the stories about the schools of the prophets. They were wonderful stories. The purpose of education is not only to prepare us for a life of useful labor here on this earth, but the greater purpose is to bring us closer to Jesus Christ and to prepare us for the life with Him in heaven. Without a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, our preparation for the life to come will not happen. We can know about Jesus Christ, but until we know Him personally and develop a saving relationship with Him, our faith and our religion are worthless. It is not enough just to know about our Savior. We must realize that every breath that we take is dependent upon Him, upon His power and His grace. So then how do we develop this relationship with Jesus Christ? Let's take a look at education from the earliest years at home. Let's peek at this home picture. This is the most vital of the environments for education to occur. In fact, education later on does not occur well unless education is carried through at home as well. Here, the mighty influence of the mother and the father demonstrate to the children what God is like. Here, at his mother's knee, Jesus learned the lessons that would bring him to know his Father in heaven. The father of the family, being the priest and standing in place of God in the eyes of his children, is to be the example of love and divine trust. I've heard many stories of my friends who are not Christians today because their father was an alcoholic, abusive, unfaithful, unloving. They cannot conceptualize a God of love, a father in heaven, because they have no point of reference with their father on this earth. Fathers, grandfathers, uncles, and brothers, you will never know this side of heaven, the influence, and in what direction you have helped to lead our little ones. Mothers, grandmothers, aunts, and sisters, you who provide the majority of the caregiving for your children, have you taught your children at your knee? Have you taught them of Jesus and his love for them? Have you put forth a holy example of cleanliness, neatness, industry, friendship, fidelity, and unconditional love and tenderness for our little ones? Grandparents, extended family members, have we placed our lives on the altar of sacrifice to provide for our children the path to Jesus Christ? Now let's take a quick look at what's happening in public education today. Current trends and media are turning our children's minds away from spiritual food. It is hardening our consciences to God's law. It is, in reality, teaching opposition to God's law. Alternative lifestyles such as cohabitation without the benefit of marriage have become very acceptable. The very definition of marriage is being corrupted and made to look foolish. Media is taking our children's power to think away and to make decisions based on godly morality. Little by little, our children's minds and hearts are being turned to the world by music, electronic media, appetite, idle and recreational time, unrealistic expectations of life situations, and teachers who do not teach the truth. The book Education says that the schools of the prophets were formed because God's people were not following his instructions at the family level or at the church level. They had just come through the period of time where Ahab was the king, and he had corrupted the religion, corrupted the morals of the country. And God said, we need to come back. We need to have an education system that will allow us to teach God's word, Seventh-day Adventist doctrine, which is all incorporated in God's word. Corruption was rampant in the government and the priesthood. Sound familiar? These schools were established to bring the people back to God, back to the saving relationship with him. These schools were established on the premise that education is to be pure and undefiled. Every subject is to be taught with Christ as the center of the teaching. You can have Christian schools where they bring in a secular educational model and teach that and a Bible class and call that a Christian school. But it is not a Christian school unless every subject is taught with Christ Jesus as the center. Every concept is to be taught in truth, and the teacher himself or herself is to be a living example of the workings of that concept. Work was to be an integral part of the schools of the prophets. Young people were taught to have a useful skill by which to support their families, their church, and their country. Children should be taught to take care of their homes, how to be part of keeping the home tidy and clean. They should be taught how to care for and maintain a home. They need to know how to manage their resources, particularly their money. In all of these areas, Christ is to be the center. If God's people were to manage their finances on the principles that he set forth in his word, there would be no want for money to support the church or the school. Testimonies, Volume 6, page 198, gives us some reason for Adventists having small schools. The church has a special work to do in educating and training its children that they may not, in attending school or any other association, be influenced by those who have corrupt habits. The world is full of iniquity and disregard for the requirements of God. The cities have become as Sodom, and our children are daily being exposed to evil. Those who attend public school often associate with others more neglected than they. Those who, aside from the time spent in the schoolroom, are left to obtain a street education. The hearts of the young are easily impressed, and unless their surroundings are of the right character, Satan will use these neglected children to influence those who are more carefully trained. Thus, before Sabbath-keeping parents know what evil is being done, the lessons of depravity are learned, and the souls of their little ones are corrupted. He goes on to say that we're not to seek large Adventist schools for our children because in the large schools our children are often overlooked and neglected and not made to feel that they are an important part of the church and the school. I am personally very thankful for this little school you have here in Sutherland. It touches my family very deeply. It troubles me to see Adventist children sitting at the feet of those who do not teach true Bible doctrine in other Christian schools. These teachers have an immense influence on our children, and their lives are a greater testimony than what they teach. They spend more time with our children than we do. They may be very spiritual, very loving and thoughtful and caring, but they're not teaching the truth in accordance with the Bible. And then I ask, is that important that they teach the truth? According to Revelation 14, verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. God is preparing a place for His people, His pure people. Do we want to keep our children Seventh-day Adventists, or does it matter anymore? At this time in history, we find ourselves becoming increasingly squeezed for resources. Our schools and our churches have to continually beg for funds to keep functioning. Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to ask for money? Have we forgotten what Jesus Christ sacrificed for us? Let us look at Matthew 16, verse 24. Jesus is talking to his disciples here, and he's telling them what they need to do to be prepared for his coming. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. And what profit it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" I'd like to ask you, can you think of a better way to spend our evangelism dollars than to train the next generation of teachers, pastors, craftsmen, professionals to be evangelists for Christ? Since I have children and grandchildren in your school here, I'm always amazed when I come to the school functions. Yes, I'm amazed, and sometimes I'm alarmed. These functions are very, very well attended, and the room is full. But I don't know anyone. They're all community people. If you've had an evangelistic series here in the last few years, you would not get that many community people in an evangelistic series to come into your church. And yet they come to all of the school functions. Where is our church family to extend the hand of fellowship, the hand of friendship? Where's our church family? I'm calling on you today. Support the school functions. You have the best chance of any of bringing people into the knowledge of Jesus Christ by holding your hand out to them and being friends. These people that go to our church functions have chosen to send their treasures to our school. I think that's a mighty statement. On top of that, some of these children go to other churches. And when they go to other churches, they perform what they have learned in our school. And they are marketing for you. They are telling other people how good this school is. There is no guarantee that any child will find Jesus Christ or remain a Seventh-day Adventist by going to our school. There's no guarantee, because God has given us each free moral agency, and we each have to make our decision to follow Christ or not. It is said that God has no grandchildren. He just has children. Each of us will be given the opportunity of coming to Christ, and it is a personal choice. In Seventh-day Adventist education, we are providing a foundation for the decision for Christ to be made. And we have the assurance in the key text today, which is Proverbs 22, verse 6. "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now that brings me to stories. And I'm going to tell a story that I don't have in my notes, so forgive me, I'll probably not do it quite right. My earliest memories are of going to church in a place called Enterprise, Oregon. I was born there, and my dad ended up going to Enterprise to be a log cutter. My oldest brother was 5 years old, and it was getting time to go to school. And before my parents moved there, the church had gotten together, and they had decided to build a school. And they were going to have a school there. And when my parents moved there, they had the basement finished. Just the basement. And so they opened school in Enterprise, Oregon, in a basement. I do not remember how many children were there, because I wasn't really old enough to count yet. But my parents were involved in the building of this school and the supporting and the maintaining of this school. About 3 years later, we moved to Halfway. We had to commute to Richland to go to church, which was, what, 15 miles? Something like that. And there were enough of us that lived in Halfway that they decided that they would get all the families together, and we would have a little company there, and we would have a school, because we did not have a school. Richland didn't have a school either. So all these families got together, and they purchased a piece of property first. And then they purchased the Robinette Train Depot. Now, the Rabbinate Train Depot was slated to be torn down or otherwise disposed of because Brownlee Dam was being built and the water was going to cover that area. So my dad's boss was N.C. Jones, and he had a lowboy truck, and they went down to Robinette along the Snake River, and they pulled that little train depot up onto that lowboy, and they carried it the absolutely breathtaking 15 or 20 miles that it was up to halfway. They had to go up what's called the halfway grade. And if anybody has been to halfway recently, there is still a halfway grade, but oh my, it's a calm one compared to what it used to be. That old halfway grade had hairpin corners on it, and it was very, 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 very steep. And that lowboy, when it would go around the corner, that little school, that little house would kind of lean like it was going to tip off the corner. And they'd go around another way, and they'd go around that corner, and they made that torturous miles up to halfway. They set that little school on a platform. They divided it in half, made half of it teacher's quarters and half of it a classroom. We started school that fall with a boys' outhouse and a girls' outhouse and a pump and a wood stove for heat. We had a teacher that lived in half of that building, and we had 16 students that year. The next year wasn't quite as good, but we started our school. And that's where I went to part of my third grade year. My parents then moved to Elgin, and lo and behold, Elgin had a little church, and it had a little school. They had just built it. They were just finishing it. And one of my little third grade friends and I, we made mud pies out of concrete under the building that they were still concreting up, and we had fun with that. But my parents were involved in populating that school as well. Mom and Dad had four little kids, and so that really helped out. And we had like eight children in that school. And there I went to school until I was out of the seventh grade. Of course, my mother, being a teacher, I think my parents' lives have really revolved around education, and particularly around Seventh-day Adventist Christian education. It was so very vitally important to them that their children have a Christian education, and I am forever thankful for that, because I do believe that my Christian education early in my life and all through my schooling years really brought me to the decision that I made when I was in academy to truly follow Jesus Christ for the rest of my life. And I made that decision that nothing would stop me, and praise God, He has been faithful. The next story has to do, again, with my family. What better stories can you have than testimonies of what has happened in your own family? And this story starts in about the year 1938. My granddad was a farmer, and he had five children, and they lived out of Baker about 20 miles. Alice was my grandmother, and she had come to know Jesus Christ through friendship ministry. Early on in their marriage, they lived in a sheep herder's tent, which is boards about this high and then a tent the rest of the way. In fact, they may not have even had that. It may have been just been a tent. But one day my grandmother told me, I saw a little lady crawling through the barbed wire fence from this big, beautiful house that was down the road from where their place was. Now, this big, beautiful house was probably a one-bedroom farmhouse. But to Grandma, that was a big, beautiful house. And this little lady came and she crawled through the barbed wire and she came to my grandmother, who had, by then, two children. She brought her a loaf of homemade whole grain bread and a little friend. From that beginning, somehow my grandmother's spiritual nature was switched on, and she wanted to know more. About that time, they moved off of this place. My granddad got a different job, and they moved over to the old farm that we called it, out of Baker. And once a week, they would make the trip to Baker to go to a little church on 7th Street, and there they were met with more friendship evangelism, more love and care from their church family. And as a child, I remember a lot of this church family would come out to the old farm, 20 miles out of Baker, can peaches all night. We used to do that. When Grandma became a Seventh-day Adventist, it suddenly became apparent to her that she had five children who needed to have Christian education. And isn't that what you did when you became a Seventh-day Adventist? You sent your children to Seventh-day Adventist schools to be taught Seventh-day Adventist principles? Now, with an unbelieving husband, she was ready to send her eldest son to Gem State Academy. I don't know how my uncle got to Jemison Academy, but I know how my dad and his younger sister got there. There was a workhorse named Major and a milk cow whose name has long been forgotten that were exchanged for an entrance fee. And there's much more to this story than I can tell, but I can say that this family gave up part of their way of making a living in order to make sure that their children got to church school. And I'm sure that that was my grandmother's doings. This was repeated the next generation when my dad gave up his 1952 Ford pickup for my brother's entrance fee to Jemison Academy. My children also went to academy, but George and I had been through the Adventist education system, and we had taken our parents and our instructors' advice, and we had both gotten our education before we got a family. And so we didn't have the struggle to send our children to Christian education. And we have reaped some of the unhappy rewards of not knowing need. Because when children know need, they began to trust in God. And because we had no need in our family, we could just hand the money over and you can go to grade school, you can go to academy, you can go to college. They never had to depend on God to provide. Need helps us to develop dependency on God to provide. Now, there are many studies that have shown that churches who have a mission and have a ministry rarely have problems with their church budget, because people who give to the mission freely will also give to the church freely. In 1968, I gave my life to Jesus Christ at Gem State Academy. I asked God to direct my path. And my path took me to Loma Linda University. One problem, I had no money. I had been working at Harris Pine Mills in order to pay off my academy bill, and I had no money. By faith, my mother and I got into our little yellow Rambler American, and we drove to Loma Linda University. And I remember with trepidation how I went through the registration process. I went in and I got classes signed, and my schedule was arranged. And then suddenly I found myself at the financial table. And they said, "Where's the money?" And I'm going, "Where's the money?" They asked me my name, and I told them what my name was. And they said, how was I going to tell them that I had no money for the entrance tuition? I told them what my name was, and they opened a ledger. And they said, "Your tuition has been paid in full for your entire career track." Now, I wasn't that great a student, I'll have to admit. I did not pull straight A's. My tuition had been paid by the WICHE program, which is the Western States Continuing Health Education Association, because at the time, there were no physical therapy schools in Oregon. And so they paid my tuition. All I had to do was come up with the living expenses. So I can say, praise God, He does provide. If you have worries about getting your kids into school, step out in faith. Step out in faith. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to hear the story of Dan Matthews. His parents and he grew up in Roseburg. When Dan finished Roseburg Junior Academy, it was time for him to go to the academy, and there was no Milo at the time. So the family sold everything they had. They put what belongings they could on a truck, and they moved to a place called Wilder, Idaho, which is right next door to Gem State Academy. He went to school and finished there. When he graduated, again, his parents sold everything, and they moved to Walla Walla Valley so that he could go to Walla Walla College. They wanted Dan to finish his education at Seventh-day Adventist Christian School, and we all know that Dan went on to become an evangelist, a radio and television personality, and he now continues in his retirement to be on the pastoral staff at Loma Linda University. What a marvelous story. We look at our own lives and we say, none of us have really seen that kind of sacrifice to send someone to Adventist Christian School. In this congregation today, I would venture a guess that there are stories similar or even more profound than the ones that I've just told you. We look back at our history and we wonder where the sense of sacrifice has gone and where have we placed our priorities. Are the things that we do and the recreational opportunities that we take, are they just for us? Or are they for the building up of Christ and the building up of His body? I ask you, is Seventh-day Adventist Christian education important? I would challenge you, help those who are unable to help themselves in school. Take every opportunity to promote the school and support the inspiration and the energy of your teachers. Live simply, give generously, so that a child might be educated not only for this life but also for eternity. Sacrifice your own wants and desires so that someone else may know the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 54, verse 13 says, "All your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children." Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your mighty love and your grace and your power. We thank you that you have given us the blueprint for your education system. Lord, I pray that you will help us in our daily walk, that we will remember that every day we learn, we either learn for Christ or against Christ. Help us to continually make the choice that we will live for Jesus and that we will lead our little ones to the feet of the cross. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen.